Welcome to the podcast of Maranatha Ministries. I'm Rick Frank, Senior Pastor of Maranatha, and I pray you'll be blessed by today's message. You can access all of our church information by going to our website at www.mmchurch.com or on all social media by searching at MM Church. And now be blessed by listening to today's message. I'm reading from Luke chapter 19. I'm not going to put all these scriptures up on the board simply because I have a number of them to read here today, but they brought him, the cult, to Jesus. This is what we refer to as Palm Sunday, although we're not preaching about Palm Sunday here today, but it is the week before Jesus was crucified, and they threw their clothes on the colt, and they sat Jesus on him, and he went, and many spread their clothes on the road. And we know that story well. If you don't, I encourage you to read it in Luke chapter 19. And everybody was praising the Lord and worshiping God and magnifying him and magnifying Jesus as the Savior. And the scribes and the Pharisees tried to silence them. Don't ever let anybody stop you from praising God, including you. Don't let you stop you from praising God because you're in a bad mood or had something bad happen. Do not let anything, including yourself, stop you from praising the Lord. These men wanted to stop the crowd from praising Jesus, and Jesus said this, "I tell you that if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out," which means somebody is going to praise the Lord. It might as well be you and me. If anybody's going to do it, it might as well be me. And I have been preaching for the past three times that I've been here. We had one intersection there where the first lady ended up preaching to us, which was phenomenal, by the way. But I have been teaching and preaching on this, what turned out to be a series of What Would the Rock Say? And this is part number four. Now, let me just get a show of hands real quick on how many think that I'm really going to finish today. One, thank you. D, you and me, man, because I'm really going to do it today. Lewis, you had your hand raised? Okay, the three of us, in the mouth of two or three. Every word should be established. I'm going to get this finished today because if you remember correctly, way back before I started this series, I began a series on the five ifs of whatever that was, and I only preached that once. So I got sermon material for months to go yet. So we have been preaching from this. We preached about, first of all, what the stones would say is that no matter how dry the desert place you are walking in, there is refreshment available. If you remember, we talked about the rivers in the Garden of Eden during that sermon. Stone number two would certainly cry out and say, no matter how big the enemy is, there is victory. And we talked about David and Goliath during that sermon. And then stone number three is what I want to talk about today, and that is stone number three would tell us that no matter how dead, no matter how dried up, no matter how hopeless, there is resurrection power available to you for your life to be raised up, put back together with new life that surpasses the old life you once lived. There is power in the resurrection. I want to read a story from John chapter 11. Just bear with me as I go through these verses, that Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, and he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. If you think Jesus does not care about what you're going through, and if you think he is not concerned about the hurts in your life and the things that sadden you and cause you to struggle, you don't know Jesus the way I know him. He is moved upon when you are hurting. He is moved in his own spirit when you are troubled and when you are struggling. God cares about you and what you are going through. Praise God. Now, I'm not necessarily like God, because if I know I have your answer, I might not worry too much about what you're going through. In fact, sometimes we've had surprise birthday parties for my wife. Now, my wife loves parties, especially when they're for her. And I don't say that in a negative way. She just loves people getting together. She just loves the joy and the happiness. And she is never so sad as when she thinks I forgot her birthday and there's going to be no party. And when you see her face, when she realizes, how many of you got her most recent birthday party? I won't even tell you what age that is. Many of you were at her most recent birthday party. She has a dear friend in the ministry, lives down in Texas now, New Mexico, her daughter took the time to arrange to have her come up. They talk on the phone continually, but they told her that she was not able to come, and she was like devastated. One of my best friends isn't coming to my 70th birthday party. I would go to hers. She lamented me in the car. All I could do was keep my mouth shut. She said, I can't believe she's not coming. I said, why? She goes, well, I guess she's got her granddaughter. She goes, if that was me, I would bring my granddaughter. I just can't believe she, and I just, and when that girl showed up, she was elated, of course. I've said all that to say that she loves getting together and she loves a great, great time. But when she thought it wasn't going to happen, she was very saddened. These people are here because Lazarus is dead. Now, nobody at this point knows that his death is only going to be for 4 days. And then he's going to be raised again. None of them know it except Jesus knew it. In fact, if you read the story, they told Jesus, come on, Lazarus is sick. He said, we got plenty of time. He's not doing well. They say he might die. He's going to be just fine. Well, Lord, you were wrong because Lazarus died. We just got word that Lazarus is dead. Come on, he said, let's go. We'll head on out. We'll get over there. And by the time he got there, Lazarus had already been dead 4 days. Now, how many of you have ever felt, Lord, if you'd have just done something? Because in your world, it's too late. Lord, if you'd have just fixed this before they did that, nothing would have happened and I wouldn't be feeling the way I'm feeling. And Jesus showed up. Let me read it to you. Lord, come and see. He got there and he was greatly troubled. You know what he was greatly troubled by? He wasn't troubled by the fact that Lazarus was dead. He was troubled by the fact that everybody was depressed over it. He was like, what is wrong with you people? Lazarus is dead. Do you know who I am? Do you know I don't live in your time periods? Do you know what in your future I can bring to the present? And do you know your past I can bring to the present? Do you know I can do anything? And I don't care how dead your situation seems today, my friend, you need to invite Jesus into that situation, because if you will invite him into your dead, dull, past life that seems to be over, he can raise it up new again. Praise God. Where have you laid him? They said to him, come and see. And verse 35, if you want to memorize scripture, here's your first verse that you can memorize. It is John chapter 11, verse 35. I will have you, if you've never been able to memorize scripture, I'll have you memorizing one right now. John chapter 11, verse 35 says, Jesus wept. Say it. You have already memorized scripture. See how easy it is to memorize scripture? That is John chapter 11, verse 35. Say it. Easy scripture to read. When I was in Bible college, we had to memorize X amount of scriptures. Everybody made that one of theirs. Everybody. Jesus wept was one of their memorized scriptures. So Jesus said, so the Jews said of Jesus, oh, how he loved him. Look at him weeping over the fact that he's dead. No, he was not weeping over the fact that Lazarus was dead. He was weeping over the fact that they were weeping over the fact that Lazarus was dead, because he knew Lazarus was not going to always be dead. And he knew when Lazarus died the second time, he was going to be taken up into glory with all the rest of them anyway. And he was not weeping for the reason they were weeping. He was weeping because they didn't have faith in him. My friend, have faith in God. He can bring life to your situation. I don't care what's been dead. I don't care what life has done. I don't care what the devil has done. I don't care what people have done. Jesus Christ can bring life to your current circumstances. And the Jews said, oh, look at how much he loved him. Some of them said, well, could he who opened the eyes, couldn't he have kept this man from dying? Yeah, he could have, but he didn't. Couldn't he have done it my way? Sure, he could have, but he didn't. I got news for you. You need to understand this about the God that I serve. He does things his way. How he wants. And it is always for your good, even though you can't always see that. How many of you have children and have ever spanked your children? And by the way, we believe in spanking children around here. Not killing them. You can bring them right to the edge. Just make sure they're still... Except my little grandson. He never needs a spanking. Oh, grandparents are a whole different world. I don't spank them, but I will bring them to mama and then walk away. Because you need it. How'd I get into all that? Jesus, yeah, he does things his way. That's right. Jesus looked there and he was deeply moved because they were troubled as to what happened rather than having faith that God was going to be able to do something about this. And so they said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man also have kept this man from dying? Yes, he could have. And he was deeply moved again when he came to the tomb. And the Bible says it was a cave and there was a stone that laid against the cave. And Jesus said, take the stone away. And they argued with him and they said, oh, you don't understand. By this time, he stinks. Because they didn't have embalming back then. So by this time, you don't want to take that stone away. Because he stinks. And let me just tell you this. Dead flesh stinks. And I'm not just, so did dead spirits. Dead spirits stink. And everybody outside of this church that does not know Jesus Christ is a walking dead spirited person. And when they walk in here, they oftentimes stink. And sometimes that is a physical smell. Sometimes it is just a spiritual thing. Their lives are messed up. They're broken. They are dead to sin. This world has killed them, has destroyed them. They have no hope. And you drag them to church and you're thinking, couldn't Jesus have done something for them before they got to this place? Sure, he could have. But look at the miracle that takes place when you bring them in to the presence of the Lord, and he takes that this world calls dead and makes them alive again. And I know firsthand, because when I came into this church, I stunk physically and spiritually. I smelled like alcohol and drugs, and I looked like the filth of this world. And they sat me down in church, and Jesus started on the inside cleaning me up before I ever touched the outside. So you give people time. Praise God. I don't care how long it takes. They thought he should have healed Lazarus before he got there. You should have had your life straightened out by now. Thank God you're still coming to the house of God. God will get you sooner or later. Praise God. Well, they should be cleaned up by now. Maybe they should be. I'll let Jesus handle that. When it takes longer than I think, that's okay. Martha, the sister of the dead man, said, Lord, he stinks by now. It's been 4 days. And Jesus said, didn't I tell you? That's awesome. Didn't I tell you? You know how many times God has said that to me? When I moaned and groaned and complained, and when's this going to work out, and what's going to happen here, and why is this taking so long, and why is my wife the way she is? And now here I am getting ready to celebrate 40. Thanks for letting me know, by the way. 47 years tomorrow. See how kind she is. She discreetly told me tomorrow's our anniversary without making me feel like I didn't know.
Vince reminded me.
Praise God. I don't care how long it takes the outside to catch up with the inside. You let Jesus work on that inside. You hear me? We got a lost world out there, my friend. And if we're going to see God do what we're believing he's going to do, we're going to have some stinkiness going on in here. And I'm not just talking about the smell of people's body odor. I'm talking about corrupt, broken, hurting lives that need to sit in the presence of God for a time until Jesus decides to show up in their life. I thought he should have came before they got sick, but he didn't come then. And I thought he should have come on day one while there was still hope, but he didn't come then. And I thought by day two he'd show up, and surely I'm looking for him on day three, because after day three it is officially over, and day four shows up and he's now come strutting in like everything's fine, and you are too late. You give people the time God wants to give them to get their life straightened out before you start casting judgment. Praise God. He said, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? Yeah, come to think of it, he did tell us that. So let's get the stone rolled away. Let's do it. They took the stone away, and Jesus lifted up his eyes, and he said, Father, I thank you that you heard me. I knew that you always hear me. How many of you know that God always hears you? We know he hears the prayers he answers, but do you know he always hears you? I'm thankful that you always hear me. And I knew that you, but I said this on account of the people standing around, that they might believe that you always hear them too, and that you believe you sent me. And when he said these things, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And the man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips, and his face wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said to them, unbind him and let him go. You don't know when it is. And I have told people this many, many times. In fact, my dear friend, Bishop Beatty, has preached this to us and to his church of when he first came to God and how he struggled. And he told me what that struggle was finally. And he struggled. He could not stop cursing, he said. He would come to church and repent and know he shouldn't be talking like that. He'd get on the job the next day and all this filth would flow out of his mouth. He would come back to church and repent and ask God to help him, and he would go back to it. He said this went on for a year. Now, it might not be cursing. It could be anything in somebody's life that they need the victory over. You keep bringing it to the altar. You do not stop. I don't care if it takes one service, 1 month, 1 year, or one decade. You never stop bringing your troubles to the altar, because one day you're going to get up and hear Jesus say, come forth. Come forth. Hallelujah. It is never, ever too late for Jesus. He can work a miracle in his time and according to his plan. And let me tell you something about the rocks. They understood the power of his word. The rock stepped aside and Lazarus came walking out. I'm here to tell you the fourth rock or third rock or whatever rock we're on understands that when God says it, it is going to happen. It does not matter how long it's been. It does not matter if logic has written it off. It does not matter if the possibility world is passed us by. Jesus lives in another world. He lives in another time zone. He lives in another realm. And when he steps forward, anything can happen. Praise God. And so even the stones know not to resist the word of God. Praise the Lord. And some of you, I'm going to wrap this up now. See, I did finish. Who's clapping over there? Some of you are thinking, well, there's one more stone I can think of that had to get out of the way. And that was the stone on Resurrection Day. The stone on Resurrection Day would say the same thing the stone said in front of Lazarus's tomb. This rock that you can't move doesn't mean nothing can happen. This rock that took a whole bunch of people to put in your path to stop you from going forward does not mean God can't do some great thing in your life. Right. I suppose I can't say it better than Carmen said it. How many of you remember Carmen from back in the day? Yeah, all the old timers are raising their hand. Yes. Carmen was a Christian singer when my kids were teenagers. And he did some, you know, teenage kind of music that had great meaning to a lot of them. Great storytelling in song. And he wrote this song about the rock. He wrote, it was called Sundays on the Way. Remember that one, Shell? Yeah. And this is how he said it. He had in his song, he had the grave was speaking to the devil, and the grave was sending back reports to the devil that everything's intact. The grave has got the Jesus in it. The rock is fine. The grave is speaking back. He's still here. He's dead. And Carmen's, you know, the devil's going back and forth speaking to the grave saying, yeah, but Lazarus was dead too. And he's like, don't worry. Nothing's happening. And this is what he said. He said, everything's okay. Jesus is dead. He ain't never coming back. And when suddenly the grave starts saying, wait a minute. He said, oh no, someone's messing with the stone. And then the song says, well, the stone got pushed away and it bounced a time or two, and an angel stepped inside and said, I'm Gabriel, who are you? If you're wondering where the Lord is at this very hour, I tell you, he's alive and well with resurrection power. Hallelujah. I don't care how dead you seem. I don't care how dead somebody's life appears. I don't care how hopeless the circumstance looks. I don't care what takes place. My friend, hang on, because Jesus is about to rise up. And when he gets up out of the grave, there ain't no stone gonna hold him back. There's a stone here today to tell you there is still hope. There is a stone that would cry out to you, there is an answer. There's a stone that would tell you, no matter how dead the circumstance seems, God is able. The stones would tell us our God is on the throne. Let's stand together. Hallelujah, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. So let me just close now as we get ready to open this altar. I got to tell you about one more stone that you need to know about. You ready for this? Peter told us this. He said, you also, as lively stones. You see, not only the rock at Gethsemane or the rock at Lazarus's tomb or the rock that ushered forth water at the command of Moses. Not only are those rocks telling the story of the supernatural and the great ability of the God we serve, but you are a rock, a lively stone, the Bible says. And this is what he said. You, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood. To what? To offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. My friend, it is time for lively stones to let this world know there is hope in Jesus. It is time for the lively stones to step out of their graves and come forward and say, there is hope in this Messiah that I serve. It is time for us as a church filled with lively stones to become alive in this dead generation that we live in and let them know there is hope in Jesus' name for anybody that will come to this rock, anybody that will build their house upon this rock. Let the lively stones say so to this dying generation around us.
Thank you for listening to the Maranatha Ministries podcast. If this message touched you, please make sure to subscribe for more sermons from Pastor Frank and the ministry team here at Maranatha, as well as follow us on our social media platforms. We are located in Schenectady, New York, and if you are in the area, we invite you to join us during our weekly Sunday service starting at 10:30 a.m. We look forward to you joining us again next week for another anointed message. Thank you, and God bless.